Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's get started. Someone save me a Chick-fil-A sandwich, please, okay?
What do you need?
A Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Gone.
Oh, that's all right. I drive right by there, so no big deal. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're talking about the tongue today, so I thought I would start my discussion with you by emulating one of our church's famous tongues, Ed Fedor. You can blame him if I fall flat on my face here. But you may not know this, but I'm half Norwegian, and so I have a question for you. What did the Norse god of thunder say after biting his tongue during an intense weightlifting session? He said, "Man, I'm Thor." Thor, get it? My tongue is sore, Thor. I have to explain these to you, sorry.
Ed gave you that one.
No, he did not. Did you hear that the tongue twister champion just got arrested? Yeah, I hear they're going to give him a really tough sentence.
Yeah. You should leave the joke
to Ed. I got one more for you. Maybe this will catch you. What makes a good tongue twister? Well, it's hard to say. You have to think about that one a little bit. It's early in the morning. I'll give you that, so I tried. My mother-in-law moved in with us in December, and she has become an Iowa Hawkeye fan. I can't believe it. She is not as big a fan as I am, but she watches every game with me right now. And last night we were up late watching the game. They got done at 11:30. And I've had time to practice bridling my tongue because now I'm watching these games with my mother-in-law. It's very interesting thing. About 2 weeks ago, right in the middle of the game, she looked at me and said, "Scott, you better check your blood pressure." Okay, thanks. Good feedback. That's excellent. Yeah, it was a close one last night. I was pretty geared up. I had a tough time sleeping. I don't know what it was, but my mind is racing of dreams of national championships for once. But I better continue thinking about my reactions during a game, right, and bridle my tongue. I do have to give my wife some credit, though. She is smarter than I thought. About 15 years ago, I requested that she watch an Iowa game with me just so she could maybe become a sports fan. She's one of those that hopes the Indians win the Super Bowl one day. So with about 2 minutes left in a really close game, she sits down next to me and says, "Here I am. I'm going to watch the end of the game with you." Well, it's a pretty intense game and very close. And she started asking questions. Like, what was that call? What is traveling again? Why did that Iowa player dribble the ball off his leg? Things like that. And the game was intense, so I had to kick her out. I said, I can't talk to you right now. This is an intense game. I can't answer these questions. Why are you asking me questions during such a tense portion of the game? Well, I haven't asked her to join me since. I realized she's pretty smart. She got out of that deal pretty easily. But those are times when I have to watch my tongue, like when I'm intense and when I want something and things like that. And our tongues are an important part of who we are as people, right? It's vital in our relationships with others. Our communication establishes who we are and how we relate to others. But the tongue is as volatile as it is vital. While our tongues have been used to make friends, to find a spouse, to get a job, mistakes of the tongue have probably destroyed more people's friendships, ruined more marriages, and cost more people their jobs and futures than any other mistakes I can think of. How many of you are thinking about going to Home Depot today, just for fun? I don't really understand you. That's a place I try to avoid. But think of the sharp tool that you might be wanting to buy at Home Depot, like a knife or blades of a lawnmower. After using that sharp tool for a while, what do you have to do? You need to sharpen it, right? It needs to be sharpened because it becomes dull. You might have to take your lawnmower blades over to Steve and have him sharpen them for you, right? So Washington Irving, though, said, he's the author of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, he said, "A sharp tongue is the only edge tool that grows keener or sharper with constant use." If you think about that, We really get used to having a sharp tongue, and it gets sharper and sharper if we don't bridle it. We can get really good at talking about others or cutting others down or boasting about ourselves, can't we? Well, James chapter 1 talks about the unbridled tongue. So in the handout there, I've listed some verses we're going to be going over today. But if you want to open your Bibles up to James chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 26 first, because it talks about bridling the tongue. So again, James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. James is a great book. It's very practical, and James cuts right to the chase with this statement. He goes right at the heart and describes the religion of someone who does not bridle his tongue. It's a warning we need to heed. Bridle your tongue, because if you don't, two things can happen. First, you're deceived. We all know our hearts are deceived, but when we are unbridled in our tongues, we're deceived even more. We may think we are religious, but we're really deceived. Our tongues reveal what is in our hearts, as we find in Matthew 12, verses 33 and 34. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Note something about our tongues with that statement. The tongue reveals the fruit that our heart produces. Again, the tongue reveals the fruit that our heart produces. We may think we're religious, but if we have unbridled tongues, that fruit shows that our hearts are deceived and our religion is worthless, which is point two in your outline. Your religion is worthless with an unbridled tongue. That sounds terrible, to have your religion be worthless because of an unbridled tongue. A tongue that is out of control really suggests a bogus religion, as it drowns out anyone's devotion to the Lord. Have you ever talked to a gossiper, or a boaster, or a harsh critic? What are your thoughts when you hear someone talk like that? We try to tune them out, don't we? We walk away from that. We usually consider the true test of one's spirituality to be in his ability to speak, but this verse suggests that just maybe we should instead pay attention to the person's ability to bridle his tongue when considering his spirituality. Again, the tongue inevitably reveals what's in our hearts, especially when we are pushed by stress, like an Iowa Hawkeye game. Back in the mid-90s, when we were here building this sanctuary, we were up here every Saturday, and there were people that were up here a lot more than just Saturdays. But I listened very carefully to the people that I worked with. I found that I wanted to get to know them in some other way other than just Sunday morning worship. I paid attention to their words. And I listen for things like are mentioned in Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Sometimes I would say something to people when I heard them talk up here. I remember one time I confronted someone on how they were talking, and they said, "Oh, you think this is bad? You should be working on a union job." I'm like, wow. They said, "You would never last." Well, of course, in my witty comeback, I said, "Oh, yeah? We'll take all of you back to seventh grade and put you in a math class and you're the teacher. Let's see how long you would last." I remember Steve was part of that conversation. I clung really to the people who built others up. I looked for those tender-hearted, forgiving people to hang out with. I developed deep bonds with those I spent time with every Saturday up here, even union members. It's a sobering thought if we think about this. Every time we open our mouths, the gospel is at stake because of how we represent Christ. Our testimony is at stake every time we open our mouths. Now, we don't earn our salvation through the bridling of our tongues. However, we must let the gospel be the engine that drives us down those railroad tracks of a bridled tongue as a worship to our Heavenly Father. So let's turn over a couple chapters into James chapter 3 and look a little more deeply into the tongue and what we should be doing. Let's start with James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. So what is the reason to bridle your tongue? Why should we bridle our tongues? According to verse 1, tongues can be misused for selfish gain. Teachers back in the days of James were highly regarded, so many people wanted to be teachers, and they just kind of joined the ranks. I'm going to be a teacher. But James gives a warning, however, that teachers will be judged with greater strictness for what comes out of their mouths. Here's another sobering thought as I stand before you. I'm going to answer to God for the words I use, especially as I teach, even this morning. Maybe I should just step down right now. It's a very sobering thought. But verse 2 also tells us another reason to bridle our tongues. It can help us gain self-control. As the tongue goes, so goes the person. Proverbs 21:23 says that whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. The tongue is not the only way we find trouble, but it is among the greatest culprits in creating trouble. By controlling the tongue, we can guide our whole bodies as well and become mature and self-controlled. And there are very interesting analogies of this in verses 3 through 5. They tell us that the smallest of things can cause great results. The smallest machines, the bit for the horse, the rudder for the ship, they steer the entire thing. I remember walking out, we took one cruise, and the first time I'd seen one of those huge boats, it kind of took my breath away, like, how does this thing stay afloat? And I didn't see the rudder. I didn't see what was directing that ship. But there was something under there that they could steer that ship with, that huge thing that weighed thousands of tons. If you think about it, horses, they go from large wild animals to large trained animals that can be controlled by even a small kid just because of a simple bit. That large ship's direction is determined by a small rudder. Our tongues weigh about 2 ounces. Very small, but when controlled, they can lead to great things. However, when not controlled, they can be destructive. Let's take a look at the second half of verse 5 through verse 12, and we're going to consider the results of an unbridled tongue. So we're starting in James, the second half of verse 5 in chapter 3. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." So what can happen if we don't restrain our tongues, if we don't bridle our tongues? An unbridled tongue brings about a world of righteousness. When I read that fire part, I thought about Smokey the Bear. We used to see Smokey the Bear commercials on TV when I was young. And I remember him pointing, saying, "Only you can prevent forest fires." It's up to me. Yes, it's up to all of us. Forest fires can start from just a small little campfire that was almost out, but not quite. Just like a fire. I'm sorry. Once that spark is out there from that small campfire, it's kind of difficult to take that back, right? I mean, we got planes dropping fire retardant material on those. We've got water. We've got firefighters that are dying just from that small spark. And just like a fire, a word of gossip or a cutting word is very difficult to contain. It leads to a world of unrighteousness. I bet if I asked you, do you recall when someone made a cutting word to you? I bet we'd probably all remember that pretty well, right? Unfortunately, we all have a tendency to have a very good memory when it comes to recalling times when someone attacked us verbally. It sticks in our minds. Worse yet, gossip can stick in the minds of many other people about you, about me. Gossip can ruin careers. It can ruin relationships. It can ruin families. And unfortunately, a tongue, if it's left unchecked, cannot be tamed. We can tame all those animals that were mentioned in there, but we can't tame our own out-of-control tongues. The way we talk becomes habit, and habits are hard to contain. The unbridled tongue becomes a restless evil and a poison. I really like that. Well, I don't really like it, but I appreciate the thought of restless evil. It's evil that just can't help but come out. It always spouts out like a boiling pot of water with a lid. You ever leave the lid on and it just all over the stove? My wife gets mad. I can't even boil water. I'm not a good cook. But it spews its venom readily and easily like that boiling pot. And fourthly, we become hypocritical. We use our words to manipulate as well as to encourage. We use them to tear down as well as we use them to build up. We bless the Lord with our tongue, but also curse those who are made in God's image. I believe Italians of this church would say, "You mean you kiss your mother with that mouth?" Hypocritical. A spring cannot give both fresh and salt water. A grapevine cannot produce figs. A salt pond cannot produce fresh water. On my way this morning, I stopped by my school in Solon because I wanted to go through this talk one more time, and I had to hit the print button because our printer's not working at home. Don't tell anybody at Solon I used the printer illegally, please. I wanted to make some tweaks, and obviously I have a story that happened to me this morning when it comes to hypocritical. On the way in, I experienced some things in a short 4-minute period of time that could have made me hypocritical. As I was driving on 422, I rounded a corner, and the sunrise popped into my rearview mirror. Now, in Cleveland, that's a big deal. I was in praise mode at that moment. How beautiful to see the sunrise on display, showing the glory of the Lord, right? Then, almost immediately, I looked over into the left lane on 422, and two cars whizzed by me with people that were looking clearly at their phones or something in their lap. They think that they can get by with it if you don't see your phone. Like, no, you can see people looking down, right? It's one of my pastimes when people pass me. Are they looking at me or are they looking at their phone? I wanted to honk and roll down my windows and yell at them, "Get off your phone," even if it was 20 degrees. Then I took the exit to Solon and noticed that gas prices had increased again. My thought, complain. Then when the light turned green at a stoplight, a car whizzed by me with a license plate that said Devil 7. My thought, who puts that on a license plate? Devil 7. And then I thought, if it's Devil 7, there must be at least six other Ohio drivers that have Devil on their license plate. My heart went from praise for God's creation to an opportunity to bridle my tongue pretty fast. Things happened very fast. Then I walked into my office, and the clock said 5 minutes till 8. My heart jumped. Men's breakfast starts at 8 o'clock. I'm 23 minutes away. And then I remembered the custodians probably changed my clock last night so it would be right for Monday. Whew. I was very relieved. But there are so many opportunities that we have, and what is in our hearts will come out of our mouths. We have lots of opportunity to practice this. So what is our responsibility when it comes to bridling our tongues? How do I bridle my tongue? Well, once again, that Matthew chapter 12 verse that I read to you says, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So we have to start with the heart. We can't simply change the fruit by changing our tongues only. We have to start within ourselves. If we try to just fix our speech, we might as well just put a Band-Aid on a gushing wound. It's not going to do one bit of good. It won't work. Again, no human being can tame the tongue. We need the help of the Lord. As a Christian, we must take the responsibility of working on this, but in conjunction with the power of the Holy Spirit, the help of prayer, submission to Christ, and renewing our minds through God's word. That's when we turn to Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, which calls us to put off our old self, to renew our minds, and put on our new self. So I want you to take a little inventory this morning as I go into this next section. I'm going to be talking here about what types of things come off our tongues that destroy, and what things pleased Christ. And I want you to think, what is my tongue like? What is my speech like? It's funny, we used to do the Biblical Principles for Family Living class, and the homework was pretty extensive. And in the middle of about 30 questions, there was one question that asked everyone to do a quick survey of Proverbs. And it just struck us as funny. Yeah, that's a quick survey of Proverbs, all 31 chapters. It's easy, right? Just a quick survey. Well, I did a quick survey of the word tongue in Proverbs. And the word tongue appears a lot there. So what types of tongues that destroy do you need to put off? Let's look at what Proverbs says about destructive tongues. Okay? Let's start with the lying tongue. Proverbs 26, 28 says, a lying tongue hates its victims. When you lie, you are showing hate to the other person. You're not treating them the way that Christ would want you to treat them. You're trying to get by with something. You're trying to pull over something on them. A lying tongue hates its victims. How about a perverse tongue? Proverbs 10:31 says, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The perverse tongue, it ruins you from the inside out. That heart of being perverse just comes out, and that is going to ruin you, and it's going to have your perverse tongue cut off. How about a mischievous tongue? Proverbs 17:4 says, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. So what's a mischievous tongue? Do you spread gossip? Do you listen to malicious gossip? Gossip takes two. It takes the speaker and the hearer. What is in my heart that would want to make me spread rumors about people? Is it to elevate myself by lowering others? When we have a mischievous tongue that likes to spread gossip, we should really ask, why are we doing this? What is in my heart that makes me want to spread rumors about people? Or how about the backbiting tongue? Proverbs 25:23 says, the north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, angry looks. North winds are not very common. But when they do come, it can bring damaging, unexpected rain. Sudden danger and damage can come from a backbiting tongue. Why does my heart want to damage somebody? How about the flattering tongue? Proverbs 28:23 says, "Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue." Do you flatter others? In other words, do you say nice things to someone that you would never say about them to someone else? What is in my heart that wants to manipulate someone through flattery, which is just another form of lying? And finally, how about the boasting tongue? I don't really need to even go into that. Why do we boast about ourselves? Why do we say things that elevate ourselves and push others and God down? On the flip side, what about the tongue that pleases Christ? What kind of heart should we put on for this? Well, how about let's start with the tongue of the wise. Proverbs 15:2 says, "The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly." How can I use Scripture to be wise and to share that wisdom from above? How can I use my wisdom that I have gained? And as we get older, we are called to use that maturity and that wisdom to help others and to help younger men. How do we do that? Do we study the Word? Do we become wise ourselves so that out of that overflow of our wise hearts, our mouths speak? About a gentle tongue. Proverbs 15:4 says, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all use gentle tongues that bring life and healing to its hearer? Do I have it in my heart to look out for others, to build others up with edifying thoughts? How can I bring about that tree of life planted by the stream for people? How about a soft tongue? Proverbs 25:15 says, "With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone." Diplomacy with your superiors means using tact, even while trying to persuade. Proverbs 16:21 also says, "The wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness." Do you know how many times I told my kids as they grew up that sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness? All the time. Have I filled my heart with a desire for respect for those in authority over me? And do I choose that type of communication of a soft tongue even when I disagree with their decisions? It's a question we have to ponder. And finally, how about a kind tongue? Proverbs 31 describes the Proverbs 31 wife, and it says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue," that kind tongue. Even though that's about our wives, I believe we as men could also use a little kindness in our speech. Really, when it comes down to this, the tongues that we want to put off and the tongues we want to put on will come from our hearts. And really, the only hope that we have to change our hearts is in Christ, just like we sang this morning. The hope of Christ is what will change our hearts in conjunction with reading His Word and prayer. I hope this gave you something to consider. Your heart. What is it like? What should I put off? What should I put on? And let's consider how our tongues work and discern how to use them for God's glory. Here's a quote to end with from John Piper. "God cares about your mouth. God cares about your lips and your tongue. He cares about what goes in, but He cares a lot more about what comes out. So I think what God means to do is to help you become the kind of person whose mouth will freely and refreshingly bring forth more and more life for other people. God wants to make your mouth a fountain of life. Let's make that our prayer this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have given our tongues to us, that we can communicate with one another, that we can share your good news, and we can edify other people. And we just pray that you would use our tongues for good, that you would build up in our hearts what you want us to share, that we would put off all those ways that we use our tongues in destructive ways. Lord, I pray that you would make that our heart's desire, that we would just bridle our tongues and that we would be a fountain of life for others, that we can freely and refreshingly bring forth more and more life for other people. Help us to work at that, Lord. Help us to look at other people as opportunities to share that fountain of life with them. It's because of you that we can have this attitude, Lord. It's because of your gospel message that you died for us and you saved us from our sins and you changed our hearts from hearts of stone. I pray that we would continually work at that, Lord, that we would just bear witness to what you've done in our lives every time we open our mouths for the glory of you and for the help of others. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.